technical net tonight. We run the technical net where you call us in. You're going to give us your name, your call sign, and whether or not you have a question or comment. And, of course, the first thing we should check is there anything, any priority or emergency traffic at this time? Oh, good. With the weather out there, you never know. Okay. So, we use this repeater. It's the 146.79 repeater with the permission of the Bergen County FM Association. Normally, we use lately the 146.95 because they have Echolink. However, it appears to still be down. And rumor has it that the committee is working on it and they'll have it back up shortly. Okay. Everybody whose call begins with the letter A as in Alpha or N as in Nancy, please call K2BR. Ah, they all came at once. Okay. WA or WB? KO or KF?
AF2ID, Ben, and I have a question.
You bet. And let's see. Plain case. K2AMI is top of the list. Do you have any questions, Tony?
Not yet, no.
Okay. Next, KA, KB, KC. W is the only one I haven't called yet.
W2JEK, done. No question.
Anybody who I haven't called yet? I got Don now. Anybody else? Wow, only three checkers. They must have known Gordon wasn't going to be available. Okay, then you have the question, so you have the floor.
Yes, the rings must have washed everybody's antenna down. We've only had only one check-in on the 440 net tonight. It was Tony, and I thank him for it. All right, my big question is K2AMI with K2BAR. Yes, I'm considering buying a new computer, and I have a number of programs and a lot of data in my present computer, and I only really want one computer at once. I can't look at two at once. That's all I got time for. So in any case, the question is, how do I transfer? What's the best, easiest, fastest, at least troublesome way of transferring my data and programs from computer number one, which I already own, to computer number two? anybody got any ideas? KF2ID with K2BAR.
Tony or Don?
K2AMI.
Do you have any suggestions for him?
I'm very much in love with these new thumb-type USB memory devices that are relatively inexpensive, cost less than $10, and hold quite a few gigs of memory. And I would use one. Hopefully, your old computer has a USB connection on it, and it will be and it can be identified as a source of storage. And I would just send what you want to that USB, and then take the USB out and download it to your other computer. First, does your old computer have a USB connection to it, Ben?
It does, and I have a USB device. It's a 2 gigabyte device, and that's inadequate for the amount of material that I have. I guess I could do it piece by piece. but the big question I have, I know the data would work, would be all right, but a big question, what happens with programs? Is it possible to take a program from one to the other? I'm not quite sure how that would work out. KF2ID.
I'm not sure either, so maybe somebody else. Could you help with that there, Noel?
My past experience is it gets really nasty, especially if you're going from something like XP to the new one, which is Vista or Windows 7. even if you're within the same, like XP to XP, what happens is there are commercial programs that will do the swap for you. Unfortunately, they're fairly expensive. Last time I was seen, they were in the $80 to $100 range. And they don't always work because they'll start transferring and they'll miss something. The other problem is Windows, so far, up through XP, tends to get full of garbage. You add a program, you delete a program. You update a file, you update a program. It tends to leave dead bodies laying throughout the registry and other areas. The problem is, people who use their computers a lot, approximately every 6 months, just simply wipe out the hard disk and do a clean install. And Peter, if you know Peter, KB2JOL, coming over tomorrow, my computer has had too many of those things happening to it. So what we're doing is I had originally, the original disk had 2 years, 9 months, and I forget how many days and hours on it, a continuous time. So we took that disk, bought a new one, and cloned it. Peter has a device to clone it. He hooks the two disks in, bingo, one disk is now the other disk. Then we took the original disk and just hid it inside the computer, unconnected. Tomorrow, Peter's coming over. We're going to take the data on my disk and swap it out to a thumb drive, or he actually carries around a small portable hard drive, about 40 gigs. Just copy the data into that. Then we're going to completely wipe out the disk that I have, that I'm using right now, and copy the original disk into it, so my computer will be back at the point approximately when I first got it. And then I'll start over. If I want a program, I'll put it in. It gets really nasty when you try to transfer a program from one Windows computer to another Windows computer. It don't always work. And my recommendation is I hope you have all your original installed disk and just do it that way. Ben, over to you. KF2ID, this is KQBAR.
Well, you said just what I was afraid of. All right, I guess I'm going to have to do it the hard way. I have some of the original programs and some of the programs I downloaded from the net, so I don't have any disks. So I guess I'll have to just write down all the programs I got and just do them one by one the hard way. We had the Safeway, which you said is what I suspected. That's really no clean way of doing it. Okay, well, thank you, Noel. I'll stand by for any for anyone else's questions. KF2ID with K2VAR.
Anybody else got any questions? Tony, if you need your computer to look at tomorrow, he's coming over. You can look at my friend Carlos' computer. And maybe five of mine, and my laptop. He's bringing his diagnostic equipment, and we're going to sit in the living room and process through.
Thank goodness right now all my computers are functioning as well as I would expect. I've had some problems in the last month, but they seem to have, I seem to have resolved them, and things are going pretty smooth. So I don't need anybody else playing with them right now.
I can understand that. Well, Jim Joyce dismayed me of the notion that we're going to be using the harmonic on the active attenuator. It turns out you're using the fundamental and beating the fundamental against the incoming signal. So since you're doing that, it doesn't matter whether you're using the 2 megahertz or 4 megahertz crystal. What I'm going to do is after this day, I'm going to go in the other room, hop on the computer, send that guy an email, and I'm willing to bet that he's going to allow us to have a mixture of 2 megahertz and 4 megahertz crystals. And at the same time, I'm going to see if he has cases or anything else like that. where we could look around and find, maybe on eBay, somebody's selling a bunch of them. But of course, since this is a group buy, we have to reach a consensus of most of the people anyway. And the other thing is, we don't have to meet her in a real hurry. Because we got 5 months and a half. Don, you haven't said anything. Let me turn it over to you.
K2BAR and the NetW2JEK. Not much to say here. Just listening in. And, Ben's got a project on his hands. I know I've had the previous computer I had died. We were out one night, we came back in, the computer had turned itself on, but it wasn't doing anything. So, got another computer, but my son-in-law, he was able to salvage the thing. He did whatever it took to be done. And he's been to school on the computers, and he knows what to do. I don't know a thing about that kind of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that you don't realize until you try to do something and something just doesn't work the way it's supposed to. I guess it's not all perfect. If you knew what it was, you knew how to. I guess there are ways to deal with these things, and that's why people go to college to learn about computers. Well, not much else to say about that at the time. So back to that. W2JK.
Well, let's see. I finished up my computer science degree in 85. Then went back to First Community College in 94 and 95 and got another degree in business computer programming. And I can safely say I know nothing about computers. They've changed so much in the last 15 years. It's an awful thing to say, but it's pretty true. Which is why I'm relying on Peter. The other thing is Carlos is going to be here. We're going to string some Ethernet cable. I got the cable someplace. Hopefully Carlos knows where it is. Peter has the ends. And we're going to duplicate a run that we have that's gotten flaky. Rather than, well, we'll also put new ends on that run. But if it's broken someplace in the middle or kinked, Ethernet cable is funny. If you put a really good kink in it, you can actually slow down the data flow or cause errors to shoot up through the roof just by the way you kink the wire, which is kind of weird. But I don't see how, because it went to the basement unless the rat's been chewing on it. Okay, has anybody else haven't checked in yet that are here? If that's true, please call K2BAR. Okay, to change the subject entirely, I bought a bright red scooter. Does everybody know red goes faster? I'll bring it to coffee tomorrow. And I'll be using it at the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk on Sunday, assuming it doesn't rain. Hopefully it won't. And when I do the New York City Marathon, I'll use that. I'll use the battery pack, the one with three 18-amp-hour, 12-volt batteries in parallel, power my radio. I should be in fine shape. Okay. Ben, do you have anything else to say before we close on that?
I want to review that attenuator, heterodyne, or whatever you call it. Now, I understand how it works very well. Like I was saying, you come in with a signal, you beat it with a 4 or 2 megahertz, and you get two sidebands, and you choose either one of the two sidebands to listen in. And the idea being that since you're working with the frequency other than the original frequency that we use, so when you get close, the original frequency doesn't get into your system, I think. But I'm not quite sure that they still don't quite follow it, because if your original signal comes in strong, and let's say you have a directional antenna, and if you're in close, you're going to get a strong signal coming in through the back end of the antenna. You're going to pick some of it up anyways. So, and if you couldn't differentiate between the forward and the backward loops in the first place, why would this help you differentiate between the forward and the backward loops with this option? It seems to me that the sideband signal will also be at a high level. So somebody could help explain that to me. I'd be interested.
There's a potentiometer on it, which regulates the amount of single strain. And I'm not sure if it relates, if it's the single strain of the megahertz or 400 megahertz. So it's not really a crystal. It's a complete little unit, something that's used in computers. It's already set up completely. It's got all the circuitry. You put power in, plus or minus, power in, 5 volts, I think it is, and out comes your single. So, and I don't know if it has a common ground or not, but it either has 3 leads or 4 leads. If it's got 3 leads, the case is a common ground. If it's got 4 leads, well, then you have input power, you know, plus or minus, and output. So, that's that. Now, the thing is, when you're, say, a mile or two away, you can aim your antenna and get the signal. You say, okay, it's in that direction. There's no difference when you're close, when you're within 20 feet. There is no difference as far as when you're sweeping the ground. The problem is that there's just so strong signal, and you aim it directly at it, and you're S9 plus 500 or something. And when you aim it away from it, you're at a right angle. You're down 50 dB. You're at S9 plus 450, and you can't tell, and it's also getting into your input circuits. Your shielding of your cable doesn't stop it. It's everywhere. If you're 2 megahertz or 4 megahertz off, your receiver is going to be relatively insensitive to it. The only thing I can see, it might desense you. One of the things that happens in my truck, when I really kick up the power and put on the 160-watt power amp, whenever I talk to the radio, my FM radio, the volume goes way down because I'm either putting RF into it or FD sensitive. Don, over to you.
Okay, this is W2JEK. Yeah, well, the only thing I used when I was doing Foxhound, I had that TDOA thing, time direction of arrival, where I have a 555 chip making an audio tone in there, and you, as you swing the antenna around, you get a dip in the tone where you're pointing directly at the source of the signal. So that's what I was using. So I don't have any direct experience with a beam antenna. And basically, I think with the beam antenna too is that I think Tony will probably bear me out on this, is that you're not looking for the loudest signal, you're looking for the weakest signal. Say the back of the beam is the weakest signal at this point, rather than the front of the beam. So that's one way to do it, is to look at the weakest signal. That's usually sharper than the loudest signal too. So, well, you'll notice that if you take an AM radio with a built-in loop stick, start turning it around, you can turn it, you can face the loop stick broadside toward the broadcast station. It'll know, because they're both the same, but if you turn it away so that it's pointing at the station, it's you get a louder signal. That's something to be said. That's that kind of a setup too. You know, of course, some people have these Doppler devices, so I guess each one has its own pluses and minuses, I guess, and all. And depends on which one you like to play, which one you like the best. Obviously, for the portable uses where you're actually walking around in an area, the Doppler isn't so good. That's something you mount on a car. But to get to where you're close enough with the car, I guess that's where the Doppler is good. And then you have to get out and find the thing after that. There's a lot to this fox hunting. And unfortunately, the German Gestapo was pretty good at it during World War II. So with that fact, have you 2JK.
Thank you, Doc. Mr. Jackson said that when he was hunting Gordon, he had no problem with the TODA, time of different arrival, I think. Yeah. Or the TOAD. TOAD is better because it's towed. Okay. Anyways, he said he was able to zero in 20 feet away because it's much, much less sensitive to the overloading factor. I'm not so sure. I haven't used it yet. I have one. Unfortunately, we cleaned up completely. Made it look like a normal house. My den, which I had to pass to the rig in, is completely empty. Most of the shelves have been emptied out somewhat. And I'm sitting here in my second wheelchair, rolling back and forth with the dog looking at me. Because I made Philly cheesesteaks for dinner today, and my wife served. Tony, send it over to you. K2AMI, this is K2BAR.
Yes, good evening. This is K2AMI. Now, my understanding of the attenuator, the offset attenuator, is hold on a second. Is there the 2 megahertz, say, or a 4 megahertz crystal running? Now, the incoming signal perhaps maybe is 146, all right? Now, with this incoming additional oscillator frequency of 2 megahertz, it would give you, like it does in any superheterodyne receiver, it gives you the fundamental frequency, the positive frequency, to make this 146 plus 2, which would make it 148, or minus 2, which would make it 144. And so you would then take your little transceiver, and you would go to 148, all right, and listen on 148, and there you would hear the heterodyning frequency, which is 2 megahertz off of the fundamental frequency of the FOX. And you would use that. This would not provide a problem with you interfering with the strong signal at 146, because you'd be 2 megahertz away. That's quite a bit of difference on 2 meters. Personally, that's the way I understand it. If that's true, I would not want a 4 megahertz crystal, because I was operating on 2 meters, and I started at 146, and I had to take a positive 146 plus 4 megahertz, it would raise it to 150 megahertz. And that 150 megahertz is up in the almost in the public service band, the police band, and so forth. And my radio does not cover 150 megahertz. So generally, we use 147 frequency. Now 147 plus 2 would make it 149, which is not usable. But there would also be an image frequency down at 145. And that you could tune with your tuned radio. Now, that's the way I understand the system to work. So you would actually readjust your handy talkie 2 megahertz down from the incoming signal. Does that sound correct? And is that what you understand, Ben?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. That's the way I understand it works. My basic question was this. What I'm saying is this. If you have if you beat it down, you still have a strong signal. In other words, what you've done was shift the frequency. Now, you've eliminated the possibility of any incoming signal that might come into the lead wire from the output of that device to the receiver, because you're at a different frequency. The receiver won't get the 147 megahertz. And that problem is totally alleviated. But the problem still exists. What happens to the signal that comes into your antenna and the wire going to the antenna? In other words, as you wrote, unless you don't get any signal from the wire from the beam to that device, which is overriding the difference between the main lobe and the back lobe, and I agree with Jim that the you want to work off the back lobe when you're getting close, because the nerve back there is sharper than the forward lobe, particularly in the Moxon antenna, which is designed for that. If the signal coming in from the receiver gets into that lead that goes from the antenna to that Moxon antenna, then you still got a problem. So maybe that's not really a problem. Maybe I'm looking for something that just doesn't exist. That's KF2ID.
Well, you do realize it's called an attenuator for a reason. There's a potentiometer on it, and you can vary your output signal, the difference, or some are different frequencies somehow. You can vary it to put, so say if you're aiming at it, what you can do is normally at close range, of course, it's going to be S9 plus some huge number. You turn the potentiometer, you get it down to S5, S6 maybe. Then you start waving your antenna around in a circle. That way you can go down to maybe S2 when you're directly away from it. Then you swing around, it'll go back up to S6. Well, the whole idea of the attenuator is to put you, the operator, in the region where your radio S-meter responds, so you can see it move. Because it does no good when your meter is all the way to the right, whether it's a bar graph or a physical meter, it does no good because there's no difference. So the whole idea of this particular device is you turn the potentiometer until such point as you got a signal that somewhere in the middle of your S meter reading, and then as you swing it back and forth, if you're a little too high, a little too low, you can adjust it till you're happy, and do your single sniffing or hunting or aiming, whatever you want to call it, as if you were 2 miles away. It'll be exactly the same as if you were 2 miles away, but you're only 20 feet away or 50 feet or whatever it may be. It's just that you cancel out the strong signal, and now you're doing it the same as you would when you were quite a distance away. Tony, let's send it over to you. K2AY, this is K2BAR.
Sorry, I doubled with part of your transmission, but I said essentially the same thing, and that is, if I've got it, I do have it. Okay, you have the attenuator to reduce the signal, the image frequency that you're working with. You turn your transceiver to the image frequency, you adjust your attenuator to get a weak signal, and then you can detect better the weak signal, because the fundamental frequency creeps in through the lead length, it creeps in through the case of the receiver, so anything that will allow the fundamental frequency to get into. But hopefully you'll be able to take the image frequency and reduce that down, and it won't do the same thing, I hope.
And Tony's also being modest about his radio, because he has a 2H, which is exactly the same as my radio, and Harvey's radio. The 2H, I believe the range is 118 megahertz through, I believe, 216 inclusive. Might even be more. But I know it'll cover from 118 all the way up to somewhere past 170. I've been using it. I have it programmed for most of the public service frequencies, the VHF public service frequencies, because as Carl said, radio operator for Racy's, I put into my 2H all of the VHF frequencies of the police, the ambulance, men 1, 2, 3, and 4, the hazmat team, the garbage men. You got 39 memories, 40 memories, I'm not sure which now. And I programmed this, most of that different frequencies for Carl set. So I'd have it there and I wouldn't have to think in case there was a real emergency. So Tony, you can use 2H and you could cheerfully pick up 151.7 if that what happens to be what it is, which is what Jim Joyce was pointing out, that both his radio, my radio, your radio, all will work very nicely on receive mode. However, you will not be able to transmit out of band. So if you're worried about hitting that transmit button, it's get a 4 megahertz crystal, and you won't have to worry because you won't be able to transmit when you're listening to the Fox's signal. Tony, I'll send it back to you.
Okay, well, I'm aware that my ICOM will cover those other frequencies, but I have some other radios here. Anyway, you might want to check into the availability of the accessories, such as a case or a box or the crystal choice. I'm not sure whether I want a 2 megahertz or a 4 megahertz crystal, but I think I'm favoring the 2 megahertz crystal, but that would not be certain yet.
I'm with you on that only because I have three ICOM HT202 Radio Shack, all of which are 2 meters only from 144 to 148. They would work fine with the 2 meter crystal. Not so good with the 2 megahertz crystal. Not so good with the 4 megahertz. So, Ben, I'm going to send it over to you.
Okay, well, I think we'll find out when we try it out. It sounds like it should work. I think the potentiometer ought to be on the input rather than the output, because I think it'll do you most good if you take away the input signal, because when you mix the input signal with the local oscillator, whatever comes out, it's going to be a mirror image, or not a mirror, but it'll be a sideband of whatever what the input is. So if the input is overloading in the front, it will still do it at the output. That is, maybe with the output, might work with the output too. All right, I take it back. I'll try it out when we see it. Just one other question, though. I don't know if it gives you that information. How much those crystals can take in terms of power before they blow out. I don't know if you can point that out. Because my transceiver has a low power mode, and I think it's 100 milliwatts. I remember offhand. But it may well be that if I put the transceiver on a low power mode, I don't have to worry about accidentally push the torque button, because I really wouldn't do any damage to anything. So I'm just curious if they don't know it, if they give you the crystal type, I guess I could look it up myself on the internet. So I appreciate that little bit of information too, why you're getting the ordering the unit. It's KF2ID with K2BR.
Well, when I read it, I believe it said, don't transmit. I don't think he's going to give us any hints on that. Don't transmit, you'll blow this thing out. This is pretty much what he said. And I can see that, you know. If Don transmitted it to his time differential, I think that 555 chip would go away. Of course, they're dirt cheap, and if you use the socket, you can just replace this, but I've never accidentally transmitted to all the fox hunts. I've never had that problem. And I think we should take a poll and see if anybody ever accidentally transmitted. I don't know. My HD is, if you don't use the speaker mic, if you're using the HD itself, you really have to push down that button to make it transmit, so I don't think I would ever have that problem. But again, I think I'm going for the 2 megahertz just so I can use it with my old HDs. We haven't heard from Don recently, so we'll send it over to him, and I'm getting tired. So let's see if there's anybody else that has anything to say.
It's JK. Yeah, well, this, I have a thing. Actually, it's a VHF converter. And it was really brought out for by MFJ for the original Radio Shack to meet the handy talkies, because they could not pick up the private service band of 150 megahertz and all. And they, what they did is they had two steps on it. You could add 10 or add 16. So that way you could pick up the weather on 162.55, and you could, let's say, 144 to 148 with the 10 megahertz, you get 154 to 158. And then with the 16, you could have 144, 148 with plus the 16, whatever. That would give you a jump into the weather frequencies there. I also understand it would work with the 440 machine. Radio would do the same thing. And they said if you did transmit with it, you would get an output on the, let's say, the private service frequency that you were listening to. Of course, that's a different thing altogether. And it's not really built as an attenuator at all. It's just a really a supposedly receiving converter. Every once in a while, I saw one recently at a ham fest. It was that at the ham fest. And the guy had one of these things. It's a little box with a BMC connectors on it. And it's connected to your handy talkie. It's connected to the scrubber duct. And has a little AAA battery inside to make the thing function. Of course, the switch cuts it off, so if you want to transmit, you can throw the thing in the off position and not worry about harming it either. Probably something along that design. But, yeah, anything. So basically, what you're doing, I guess, is to try to change the frequency to something that you can deal with. And instead of the high power frequency that the fox is using, you can change that into a frequency that the fox is not using and attenuated differently. Oh well, there's a lot to be said for each method. Back in that, W2JK.
The guy on the website doesn't come out and say it, but with the potentiometer, he's implying that you could vary signals that go into your HT up and down. Okay, I guess there's nobody else there. Let's give a quick listen. Is there anybody else that hasn't joined us yet? Is there anybody else that has any questions or comments before we close the net?
K2AMI.
Go ahead, Tony.
Just a comment about the fact that if you are planning to go to the Bergen Amateur Radio Association awards dinner, which will be on, I think it's December the 6th, please mail a check to Bob Javits. I think it's $25. And if anybody's interested in going to the Hudson Division luncheon on November the 7th over at Biagio's restaurant, please mail Bob Javits a check for $45. I'm planning on going, and last count that I had heard, they had 7 people and maybe 8, and they wanted to get a total of 10. If you have more than 10, it's no problem, but if you're interested in going, get a check out this week.
Okay, I'll do that. The XYL bitterly complained that she doesn't want to go to any of those dinners. She has a great time at Fairlawn. She has a great time at the Barra dinner. Tony, anything else? Let's close up this net.
That's it. See, and, by the way, I did update the Barra calendar for most of 2010. And if anybody sees any errors or would like to correct anything, of course, I'm lacking the DE days in 2010, but they'll come along eventually. And I'm lacking the things like the Fox Hunt Day and the Barra Picnic Day, which will probably be set up as we move. But get a chance to check out the calendar. Any questions or comments, email me or let me know. Back to net.
Okay. You do remember that you're the Fox, and if you abdicate your responsibility, it falls to Charlie and Denver. I wouldn't mind Denver, but Charlie's got some evil plans in the back of his mind, so I was a little bit hesitant. Tony, back to you.
I don't have the spring Fox on date yet, but it'll probably be in April or May. Anyway, we'll see what happens and see how I feel, but we'll work on it.
We can always get you a helper. The one rule that I didn't add that I figured would be understood was the Fox must be using an omnidirectional antenna, and it's not fair to take a beam antenna, aim it at a building a mile away or half a mile away, and pump all the signals to that building so it bounces off, and everybody's searching around the darn building, and of course, you're half a mile away in the other direction. If you shoot it up high enough in the building, they wouldn't even be able to tell. Did you go online, anybody, and look at some of these Fox hunts? They do crazy things like that. The other crazy thing they do is they'll get a pony rock made out of fiberglass or a tree branch, a dry tree branch. They'll cut it open, split it somehow, put in the complete antenna and the transmitter, seal it back up and leave it out in the woods, and you can't see it. I mean, you probably could step on it, you wouldn't know it was there. I don't think we're ready for that. Okay, anybody else, any comments, questions before we close the net? Please come now.
Well, one of the times when I was a Fox, I did have a three-element beam, and I was in the front of the OEM building, the Community Services building in Paramus, and I aimed the beam at the hospital there, the Bergen Pines Hospital. But unfortunately, there was enough signal off the back of the antenna in the direction the guys were coming from, so they found it easier than going to the hospital itself. But it didn't work that well. You'd have to have a very strong reflective surface so that there was no reflections in one direction, and a good beam and a good direction at the tall building. Hopefully it was where very reflective. Maybe a metal building would be great. Anyway, that's all I've got. Thank you for running the net tonight, Noel, and I see that our late Mr. Gordon didn't arrive, and we'll see you again.
An arrow 2-meter corner reflector would do it. There's almost nothing off the back of that.
Okay,
I'm going to say 73 to everybody. I got a busy day tomorrow. If anybody needs their computer guru, it's going to be Peter. Don't forget the coffee is tomorrow morning. I'll see some of you there. This is N2OEO, operating this K2BAR, saying 73, everybody. And we're closing the net and turning the computer to normal operation.